With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five, book it to the end zone, touchdown,
launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's a three, touchdown,
they take the lead with 3 seconds. Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in, Virginia Tech has won it.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. As always, joined by the great Gopher the Two, Joe Lisi here, the encyclopedia of college football. Joe, my man, how are you today?
I'm pumped up, Carver, and thank you for the compliments. I love hearing when you just throw compliments on me, and it's great working with you, too. I told you, I love you. I wish the season started tomorrow, because I know we would be sitting down on the couch, we'd be eating, we'd be watching these games, and breaking it all down about the teams that made us and lost us money. So, can't wait for August 28th.
One of the first couple Saturdays of college football, Joe, I think me and you are just going to have to get together, and we'll just have to like live stream me and you watching the games together, all the games going on, and us going crazy and getting mad at people. I think that'll be a fun like little experiment on social media, me and you watching the games on a Saturday.
See you with the chips. I could see you with the chips and the Islanders can, you know, the orange jacket on. Joe, Ball jacket. State's killing me. Drew Plitt's killing me, Joe. He's killing me.
Yeah,
we'll be up. This kid is 10 of 36 for 100 yards, Joe. I'm catching 24 and a half. He's killing me, Joe.
We'll be all over the map, Joe. We'll be all over the map. Look, we have a lot to do today. There's a lot of headlines we have to get to. And, of course, we'll continue looking at ACC win totals today. NC State, Wake Forest, and Florida State are the three teams we're going to dive into. All about the same number, too, as well, which is very interesting. But, Joe, a lot of headlines. Let's get started here. We will start with the Big 12, as we have a lot in the past couple of weeks. Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, he met yesterday with Pac-12 commissioner, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, George Kielvakoff, to discuss the possibility of a merger, schedule alliance, other options. I think that, once again, Joe, this is hard because I don't think that the eight Big 12 teams offer a lot, you know, to go and join another conference. There isn't that anchor. They just lost the two anchors. But I will tell you, Joe, if they wanted to get together and make the first 20-team, quote-unquote, super conference, I don't know how super it would be compared to what these other conferences are going to throw together. I think that would be smart of them to kind of beat everybody to the line to the 20-team conference.
It would, but I feel like it's like the online dating scene, Carver, right? It's like right. The Big 12 was on Tinder, and all of a sudden they jumped to Bumble. And it's like, oh, look at this all of a sudden. It's the Big 12 minus two teams, right? You're like, oh, yeah. And then you look at the pictures again, and you're like, wait a second. Something just doesn't seem right with this, right? And you're like, what could it be? What could it be? I don't know. The bio looks great. Everything looks good. And then all of a sudden you come to figure, oh, I thought you had Oklahoma and Texas with you. You're going to give me West Virginia, Oak State, Baylor, Texas Tech? Thanks, but no thanks.
Let me tell you, Joe, I know we've reached the peak of this Big 12 nonsense over the past 2 weeks because you started comparing the situation to dating apps. So that's exactly where I know we've now reached the peak of where we can go with this stuff. Here's the problem, Joe. On one hand, you have this going on with the commissioners of these two conferences meeting. And let's be honest here, schedule alliance, like nobody cares about that. If they're going to play each other, at the end of the day, it doesn't get to where we need to go, which is what's going to happen with these eight teams. Now we have all the rumors of what everybody else is doing. And you sent me this yesterday. There's a lot of things are swirling, Joe, throughout the country right now. Kansas to the Big Ten, swirling. Is West Virginia talking to the ACC, where they should have went all along? That's swirling. Big 12 adding teams like Louisiana Tech and the Raging Cajuns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's swirling. Bowlesby's got a tough job right now, Joe, because he's trying to balance keeping these eight teams together, but the eight teams know that they need to look out for themselves as well, and that's why you hear the rumors about Kansas, West Virginia, etc.
Exactly, and I think the bigger question mark is the teams that are very quiet. Those are the teams that you really want to like gauge in on. You know, Notre Dame said maybe one or two comments. They haven't said a word really, right? What's up with Notre Dame's sleeve? Because they hold a huge piece to the puzzle. Because I told you that I believe that the best synergy for them is in the Big Ten. You know, if they can make an alliance to the Big Ten, I think that really solidifies the Midwest. And that's what we want to see if you're a Big Ten backer, right? You want to make sure that you have that under your belt. And then you could start to add maybe the Pac-12. Because I think what we're going to have is we're going to have a 20-team SEC conference. I think the SEC is going to be minus, honestly, Vanderbilt and Missouri. And you're going to add in potentially Florida State and Clemson into the mix. So we'll see what transpires, but we really have to keep an eye out, even for BYU. You know, BYU is an independent that really was out there. They wanted to join the Big 12 a while ago. Remember back in the day, and then they didn't, right?
Right. No, you're right. There's still a lot that has to be decided, Joe, that's for sure. We're just getting going here. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, channel 204. We'll keep rolling after this, Joe. We've got American Conference Media Day. I love Commissioner Mike Oresko. We'll hear from him next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. More headlines for you, Joe. And this one's actually just happened in the last several minutes that I have to bring up with you. It involves my Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Notre Dame and NBC announced that the Irish season opener versus Toledo will be exclusively streamed on Peacock. Now, unlike the spring game, which was a free stream, Peacock is now a subscription service, which will be required to watch Notre Dame's first game of the season. Let me break this down for you, Joe, because I'm very versed in this. I have Peacock already. I have the subscription service because they've already put a lot of sporting events on there that normally you know, would have been on over-the-air TV, whether it be the Premier League games. They've actually done a lot with the Olympics, including the men's basketball games. They put them only on Peacock. So NBC, I understand, is really trying to push this subscription app. And this is the future, Joe, of not just watching college sports, but sports in general. Several streaming platforms, they all want you to buy them. They all want you to watch your stuff. But, Joe, this is no opening day for Notre Dame at home. Who cares if they're playing? I don't care if they're playing Toledo. I don't care if they're playing Alabama. This is their home opener. I don't like this, Joe. And I already have Peacock, and I still don't like it. I think this is ridiculous to do. I can't stand it.
Well, Carver, would you like some Grey Poupon? What's your lunch today you have Peacock? Excuse us. I'm sorry. You're in an elite type of social level.
Well, I have it, Joe, because
there.
Well, Joe, I have it because there's a lot of stuff that they offer that I like. So
I like to get you amped up, of course.
Well, Joe, the Premier League, they used to have this Premier League package. You buy the gold. They have a lot of golf on there that you can't normally get. There's things that I like to watch that they have on Peacock, and it has a lot of stuff for the kids. It has all this. So it was worth a worthy purchase for me even before I knew that they were going to put the opening Notre Dame game on it. They're just trying to get people to buy it for the one game. And this is where, and this isn't just going to be with Peacock. You watch. ESPN Plus is going to do this stuff.
Exactly.
They hold the rights to tons of college conferences.
Exactly.
But this is, Joe, something that, as much as we don't like it, it's something that over the next 5 to 7 years, you're really going to have to embrace because you're going to see stuff like this all over the place.
Without a doubt. It's all about the revenue stream. And I talked about this last night in terms of a show I was on Sports Grid. It's the bigger picture. It is the bigger picture. You don't look short term. You know, it's not, this is not, all these moves are not about Brian Kelly or Nick Saban or the level of competition that they want to play in the next 2 or 3 years. This is a broader macro view. Bigger is better, and we're trying to get as big of a piece of the pie as we can to really monopolize our rights and our given sport, right? And Notre Dame has always had that. They've had the NBC contract, and that's why Lou Holtz and the Fighting Irish were dominant in the late 80s and early 90s, because every kid that was a five-star athlete wanted to go to a team that had national recognition, had an opportunity to win a national championship, and at the same time be televised each and every Saturday. And now where we see it, right, is the fact of the evolution of ESPN and other media outlets, right? CBS Sports Network and the others, they all are carrying college football. And it's free, right? So now kids can stay home. There's no need to go to Notre Dame if I could stay in Kentucky and still be close to home and capitalize on my name and still be close to friends and family. I don't need to go 5,000 miles away, right? Now how does Notre Dame recapture that?
Well,
they have to do it somehow, some way, and this is it.
Well, I mean, look, this is an extension, and it looks worse because it's one team doing it, but like if you want to watch any SEC team play on the SEC network, you gotta go buy that, right, Joe? I mean, the SEC network ain't which is in correlation with ESPN, that don't come, you know, you can't watch that over the air. You gotta pay extra on your cable bill to get that.
But Carver,
it's apples to orange. It's all the same thing, Joe.
But let's not forget about this. The difference between the conferences, okay, with the conference affiliations in terms of the networks, is that it's all the conference, meaning that, and I brought this up, I've been a huge proponent and I'm a big backer, this is a project I'm working on, the College Football Network. There is no outlet that is just showing college football. The conferences have sports specifics. They can't show college football on the SEC channel for 24/7 because those other sports get residual income. This might be the way that Notre Dame capitalizes in terms of making it the Notre Dame Football Network. Because it's right. Think of it that way. Because maybe they're trying to capitalize on Notre Dame solely on the football aspect by having a subscription based program.
I completely understand what you're saying, Joe. I get it. It's just, you know, when you see something like this happen, it's just another domino on what's
going
to be
coming
in the next 5 to 7 years.
Let me ask you this:
Yes,
if you did not have Peacock, Yes. And you, let's just say, you know, because of your family and other sports you watch.
Right. If I didn't already have it.
Would you buck up and pay the subscription just for week one against Toledo? Or would you go to a bar and hope that they have Peacock?
No, if it was only one game, which it sounds like it is, and I didn't already have it, I would not pay for it. I would go somewhere and watch it, or I would find a way other ways. Either somebody else who's got it, I'd find another way to watch if I didn't know, if that was the only thing I needed it for. For me to
it
buy
definitely
a subscription
affects
based,
the in-game wagering, I could tell you that, because
it is way behind, Joe. I'll tell you that right now. It is way behind. So in terms of in-game betting, you watch on those streaming services, it is absolutely, the books have the edge on you on that, Joe. You're making a great point, Joe. That's a huge factor. When you talk about it, because, you know, we do in-game live on Sports Grid TV on Saturdays during college football season, and I'm in an office where I got a couple TVs that's streaming. You know, I don't have five cable boxes set up in here. And when I'm watching these games, a lot of them are on streaming services, and I am significantly behind when I see the live lines change on FanDuel, et cetera.
The books always have think about this in terms of just the mitigation of risk. How could they, if it was in live time and they set the lines, they'd always be at a disadvantage because the person that's watching it or is at the game has an inside edge, right? That's why there's always a delay. The players like us are always at a disadvantage, and that's why, you know, if you're good at it, like we cover in-game live, you can see the discrepancy of why is Notre Dame laying 18.5 when they're only up by 10 right now, and then three plays later they bust a 60-yard run to go up 17. The books know that they scored when we don't. There's like a 30-second delay.
It's sometimes even more than that, Joe. I mean it is extremely hard watching on the streaming services if you're an in-game bettor and you're trying to watch these games, whether it's college football or anything else. Very tough to do. So interesting stuff from Notre Dame. First game going to be exclusively on the streaming Peacock app that NBC now owns. I want to get into the American because I love Mike Oresco, Joe.
You love this guy. Are we going to invite him to like the man cave?
He got up there this morning and he, you know, flat out denied all the stuff about colluding with ESPN. Why would I do? I don't even have anything to do with that. And then he's up there saying that the college football playoff is getting stale. That's his exact words. He goes, it's getting stale having the same teams over and over again. I love guys who just sling it, Joe. And what a great quote from Oresco. The playoff is getting stale with the same teams over and over. He's so right. I love it.
You got to love him. Can you see Oresco, and I don't know him, but can you just like paint the picture like Oresco and his like lush office, right? He knows he's gonna. I gotta go out there. All right, give me the bourbon. Give me a shot. Let me go out there. The college football playoff is stale. That's it. Come on, we're taking on all takers. Then he watches his replay 5 hours later. I said that. I didn't mean that.
He's great. I thought he was outstanding today. We'll come back, Joe. I'll give you the preseason American poll, and then we'll get into the ACC win totals. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe. American Media Days, preseason media poll. We always love these. We have 24 writers who are involved in the preseason poll. 22 out of the 24 picked Cincinnati to win the conference this year, Joe, which I know you are very much in agreement with.
Well, they're the best team on paper heading in. But I think there's a couple of other teams a little bit lower that we have to keep an eye on in terms of win totals and potentially, possibly challenging Cincinnati. Let's not forget, we went through Cincinnati's games yesterday at Indiana, at Notre Dame. Are not going to be easy.
No, they are not. The other two votes went to UCF, of course, with Gus Malzahn.
Gus Malzahn.
Orlando. Yes, mm-hmm. with Gus Malzahn, Dylan Gabriel, etc. Got the other two. So Cincinnati, UCF, SMU third, Houston fourth, followed by Memphis, Tulsa, Tulane, East Carolina, Navy, Temple, and then last, South Florida.
Yeah, UCF disagree with that. Disagree with South Florida. I tell you what, you want my team to surprise out of the whole conference? The 1-8 South Florida Bulls. Keep an eye out for them.
Well,
Jeff
it's funny.
Scott.
Yeah,
Jeff
ahead,
Scott is doing a good job there, and I tell you, he's got a dynamic running back in Kelly Joyner, but just go through the schedule last year. At the end of the year, they were playing their best football, and in terms of a first-year head coach, that shows progression, right? They were a terrible program under Charlie Strong. He took that program, ran it into the ground, right? So after he left, right, and they haven't built consistency where Jeff Scott took over. He had to get his guys in there. But right. as the season progressed, they were getting acclimated with the offense and defensive schemes, and they were playing competitive football. They challenged Tulsa. They challenged, I believe, UCF at the end of the year. There was another team. I don't know if it was Cincinnati or one of the other top teams in the conference that they went toe-to-toe. It was basically a one-score game much of the way. So you look at those three games at the end of the year and you say, you know what? The kids bought in. They didn't quit. And now you look to 2021 for the progression.
Cincinnati minus 175 to win the American right now. UCF plus 350. Houston 12-1. Memphis 15-1. I saw somebody tweet this morning, Joe, and it is true when you look back at the history of this conference. Usually one of those teams that it's picked between 6 and 11 in the preseason poll ends up making some noise at the top of the conference, like comes out of nowhere. There's usually a team that comes out of nowhere.
You totally agree, and I think the team you keep an eye out on, I believe when I looked at the rankings, is fifth. Ryan Silverfield turns 41 today, one of the youngest head coaches, if not the youngest head coach in terms of college FBS, turned 41 today, but that team is loaded. And he gets a lot of criticism in terms of, you know, in terms of his game planning. I thought he did a fantastic job last year. People have been critical in terms of he doesn't have his teams prepared. They weren't ready. Now, he had Brady White last year. He had Kenneth Gainwell, right? Two big players. Had Sean Dykes, right? He also had Coxey, his leading wide receiver, that basically quit the team in the middle of the season last year. But right. Go back to the game against UCF. They were trailing that game at half, I believe, and I bet it in-game I won, but they were down 18 at the half. The halftime adjustments that he made in that ballgame were phenomenal. The defense stepped up. Sean Dykes comes back. Keep an eye out for him. Everybody, he's going to be Kyle Pitts this year. All the so-called fantasy guys and every right. Oh, Sean Dykes, you got to. Yeah, we've been following Sean Dykes. He had a big play year last year. Keep an eye out for him. But Grant Gunnell comes over. He's a pure pocket passer from Arizona. Keep an eye out for this team. Memphis is one of my sleepers in the division.
Gunnell stinks, Joe. I can't.
You can't look at Gunnell. You cannot look at Grant Gunnell under Kevin Sumlin. You cannot. Kevin Sumlin was a horrible coach. Did you really think that Kevin Sumlin wanted to be in Tucson? I mean,
where did he want to be, Joe? Where did that team was embarrassing, and Gunnell was awful.
It was embarrassing. He had Khalil Tate. Let's be honest. He had Khalil Tate. One of the most athletic quarterbacks in college football. What did he do with him?
Yes.
He didn't do anything.
No,
right?
I disagree.
I mean, and Kevin Sumlin. No, I thought Khalil Tate threw. You know, there were games that Khalil Tate played. I was like, did he play for the other side? I mean, Khalil Tate would just throw the ball. I'm like, what is Khalil Tate doing? Now he's trying to make his career in the NFL as a wide receiver. But that being said, so I give half the credit to Sumlin, half the credit to Khalil Tate. But outside of that, he did not coach that team up. He did not coach that team up, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But Grant Gunnell was a five-star quarterback out of Texas, I believe, and was a state champion.
He didn't show it. He was awful. He was absolutely awful.
We don't give him a flyer. We don't give him a flyer.
Can you tell that he burned me in a couple games, Joe? Can you tell Grant Cannell bothered me in a couple games?
Khalil Tate killed me in a couple games. I know. I know.
He was brutal.
Kevin Sumlin burned me a couple of years ago when he had Christian Kirk and Trevor Knight in Texas A&M catching 19.5 against Alabama. He blew that game. It was a 14-13 game in the second half at halftime, down one, and somehow, some way, they crapped the bed and they didn't cover the 19.5 point number. Oh, Trevor Knight fumbled. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least 70% of the time, Joe, if I tell you I can't stand somebody, it's because they cost me a couple bucks.
Yeah, of course. It's all right, though. Okay.
Let's get into now today's win totals. We've been doing the ACC all week long, Joe, and today we are going to start with NC State. We'll also do Wake Forest and Florida State. But let's go to NC State first, Joe. Yep. A 6.5 total pretty much across the board. I checked several houses, and I see 6.5 everywhere. At FanDuel, you can actually get the over 6.5 at plus 125, under 6.5 at minus 145. I've seen an over at plus 100 in one spot. What else do we have here? Another over, plus 110. Pretty much, listen, Joe, this is the same number. If you like the over, FanDuel's giving you the best number with plus 125 to the over. But what do you think about this schedule? When I look at NC State right off the bat, and I'm thinking of a 6.5 number, as always, Joe, my rule, let's look at how many games I think they absolutely are going to win without question. And you know what? I think that there's three. I really do. You know what? Four. What about Louisiana Tech at home? Are we giving NC State that game, Joe? Are we giving
them Louisiana Tech at home? It's not easy. I mean, Skip Holtz.
If it's not easy, then we can't give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but we'll give it to them for the sake of argument, okay?
I'm giving them USF. I'm giving them USF.
No!
Here we go.
Pump the brakes, baby.
Well, look. I know you're on the USF train, Joe, but the first game out of the gate, they're going to go down to go to Raleigh and take care of business against NC State.
Well, here's the thing. They had a very good season last year. They were one of the most improved teams in the ACC. They had 17 starters coming back. Devin Leary at the helm. He got hurt. Bailey Hockman took over. Let's not forget, they beat Liberty 15-14, beat quality teams last year, went toe-to-toe with De'Ara King, lost that matchup 41 on a Thursday night. They have some playmakers. Bailey Hockman transferred out to Middle Tennessee State. Devin Leary returns. They get two big play running backs, Bam Knight, Ricky Person. But when you look at their eight wins, Carver, they came against opponents with a combined overall winning percentage of basically 432. So they didn't really beat elite competition. They beat the teams they should have beaten. They struggled against Kentucky, didn't win. They lost to Miami last year, didn't beat North Carolina. And their other loss last year came to, I got to look, but I think it came to Virginia Tech. That was the game in Virginia Tech where they were catching that line open up at 9.5, Va Tech. They had 26 players that did not play in that game. They were a 6.5 point underdog, NC State. They got blown out. That game was like 28-0 in the second quarter. So who did they really beat last year? So that's a concern for me. They're a good team, but I think 6-6 is fair for them.
Yeah, I mean, 6.5 seems like the right number, Joe. But I also, I'm looking at this and I find it very hard to get him to 7.
Like, me too. I mean,
they can get there. They can absolutely get to 7. There's just too many games where it's a toss-up game for me.
Well,
they have
a lot
of toss-up games. And if you're going to, obviously, if they win the majority of them, they're going to get to 7. But for me to bet a full season win total, there's too many toss-up games for me.
Well, before we do it, let's talk. All right, so I'm high on USF, but let's take them out of the mix. They play on the road in Starkville. That's not easy.
Will Rogers and
Jack Abraham are the quarterbacks for the Bulldogs with Mike Leach. We'll give them Furman. They're not beating Clemson.
No.
La Tech will give them. At BC with Phil Jurkovic is not easy, right?
I'm
talking quarterback. But let's talk about the quarterbacks, right? Just quarterback matchup. Where do they have the advantage? They definitely don't have it against De'Ara King on the road, right? Louisville with Malik Cunningham. They don't have that. At Florida State, we'll give them the edge at quarterback. We'll just give it to Mackenzie Milton. Sam Hartman at Wake Forest, not easy. And then Syracuse will give them that. They're not, and then Wake, and then North Carolina end the year with Howell. So they basically have five games where they're even or have the quarterback advantage. So we still have a game and a half advantage in terms of that.
That means we need him to go 2-5 in the games that they don't. You need him to go 2-5 in the games that they don't. And I think that that's very, very tough for them to do. I think that this is a stay away for me, Joe. I don't like. I think the number's too good, right at 6.5. This is gonna flip flop. They're gonna go 6-6 or 7-5. You could book it, and that's not good enough for me to bet, Joe.
No, me neither.
College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll come back, Joe. We've got a couple more teams in the ACC doing win totals today. Here, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, we're going to go to Wake Forest next. We're doing ACC win totals this week. Every day we're doing about three teams. And today we have NC State, Wake, and FSU on the docket. Let's go to Wake Forest, Joe. This is a very interesting schedule, and let me start by giving you the number, which for Wake might jump out at you and say, "Wow, that's kind of high for Wake Forest." I've got sevens at most shops, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I got a seven at DK with the over minus 120. I've got a seven at Wynn with them minus 105 to the over.
Mm-hmm.
I've got BetMGM over 7 minus 120, but FanDuel has him 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got him at sevens, but here's the problem with the 6.5, Joe. A heavy juice to the over, minus 160.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, you got sevens everywhere else, but you got to lay a pretty big number there at FanDuel. Listen to this schedule, Joe. Old Dominion at home, Norfolk State at home, Florida State at home, at Virginia, Louisville home, at Syracuse, at Army, Duke at home, and then it gets a little tougher for them at the end. At UNC, NC State home, at Clemson, at BC. Those first eight games, Joe, I mean, they could go 7-1.
Potential 8-0. This is my sleeper for the conference. Obviously, the front runner that I had, I talked about Miami. Love that over 9.5. That's one of the ones I'm over on, right, for the ACC. And I'm under on Va Tech. We're in agreement with that. This is another sleeper dark horse that I'm high. I think this is going to be a potential 8-0 team heading into that matchup against North Carolina at the end of the year. They have 17 starters coming back. Sam Hartman is a very capable quarterback. He's an experienced quarterback. The whole offensive line comes back. A big loss for that team was running back Kenneth Walker. He transferred out to Michigan State. He potentially was one of the best players on that offense. He moves now to East Lansing with Mel Tucker. But Shaquil Robertson, their wide receiver, is a legitimate deep ball threat. I mean, he is. Let's not forget, you know, when you just look at the type of players that they had there, they had Scotty Washington there. They also had previously Chaz Surratt's brother, Sage Surratt, there. Both of those wide receivers moved on. Dave Clawson has done a fantastic job in terms of building this team internally, just the way Matt Rhule did from the offense and defensive line play. They are very disciplined, very solid in that area, and they're going to be in ball games. And Old Dominion, Norfolk State, Florida State, I'm sorry, I don't care. Mackenzie Milton, Jordan Travis, I don't care if you get Peter Tom Willis there. They match up very well against the Seminoles in that matchup. The one tough game is at Virginia, because Virginia is very disciplined as well, going on the road to Charlottesville. But they can be 6-2 at the very least, and then just have to steal one of those. NC State, they can win in Boston College. They could be a 9-win football team in 2021.
Yeah, at Virginia's tough. That's a Friday night game also in Charlottesville. That's going to be a very tough game for them to win. That's not
triple options tough too with Army. They lose Boogie.
Yeah,
Basham.
I was just going to ask you that. Well, matching up with Army, a team that they're not used to playing. Yeah, and this is the start of a home and home with them. They play at Army this year. Army goes to Wake Forest next year because I wanted to see if there was any recent history between the two clubs. There is not. This is the first year of a home and home. That could be a tricky game for them also, Joe.
Well, that is a tricky game on both sides because how will their defensive front respond against the triple option? That's from the defensive perspective. And then the other perspective is they have the type of offense – excuse me, to challenge Army over the top. So really, it comes down to which team is going to dictate the tempo. Let's not forget, this team lost 59-53 to North Carolina. They score points a premium. They average over 35 points per game. You know, Beal Smith is a very good running back. He's also catches the football as well. So Sam Hartman can challenge that Army defense over the top. If they jump up 14-0, lights out, that game's over. So it really depends on can they establish the tempo early on and jump up on the Cadets at home.
You think they'd be favored in that game?
Ooh, it's going to be well.
So on the road? Right, I don't think so.
All right, so here's the thing. Right here, right now, I think they would be, I would put them, in my opinion, if I'm, and I don't care, you know, everybody establishes lines differently. Right. I would make them a 2-point favorite over Army. If they're undefeated going into that game,
they're 6-0,
they're
going to
be a
5 or 6 point
favorite.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. If they're actually 6-0 going into the Army game, they'll be 5 or 6 point road favorite that day going there. But you're right. Right now, if they were playing game number one, I think that could be a pick'em, or maybe one or two either way, Joe. I
gotta
I
go with the ACC speed.
No, that's
speed,
true.
Right?
I understand that. But I think I know that you're a lot higher on this team than I am. It sounds like you like the. Do you like the over seven numbers?
Yes.
Or
I like them. I think this is an 8 or a 9 win football. I think they're going to shock a lot of people this year.
So you're not even.
It's them and Miami.
So you'd rather play at some of the places with 7 and have less juice than deal the 6.5? Or do you want to feel comfortable
and lay
the 160?
You never want to lay 160, but, I mean, we're talking about a half a game. They get to 7-5, you're a winner as opposed to a push.
I feel that's a lot better about thing. That. I know you got to lay juice, Joe, but I don't like the 7. Like, I feel like you're staring at a push. I just don't know if they get to 8. Those last 4 games really scare me. Even if they went 8-0, Joe. Those last for now they'd probably be a better team, a lot more confidence. Maybe they'd win an NC State game at home or win at Boston College. Those last 4 games staring you at the face, especially if they don't go 8-0.
They covered against Clemson week 1, right, against Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they jumped out to a big lead. They're in games.
Yeah.
They're in games. That's the biggest thing.
Okay.
They beat Virginia last year by 17, beat Va Tech by 7. You know, they lost to North Carolina, Sam Howell. That was the game, an in-game. We talked about it yesterday. They had a 21-0 lead, I believe, on North Carolina in that matchup.
Yes, they did that day. They absolutely did. Look, Joe, you're high on them. And so, Joe, given the seal of approval, go play the over for Wake Forest. If you want, even the 7. Joe says the 7's a good number. So go and play the over 7 for Wake Forest. We will now go to Florida State, Joe, who has had just a miserable past couple of years. I mean, there's really no other way to sugarcoat it. And now they have Mike Norvell leading the charge, as we know. Probably one of the lowest win totals, Joe. When was the last time Florida State had a win total of 5.5?
Never.
I mean,
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Was Burt Reynolds back on the team back then?
I mean,
he might
Joe,
have
this
been.
Is this
when
is
Bobby
wild.
Bowden
five
first
and
took
a
over.
Half. 5.5 for Florida State. I'm trying to see if we got any difference anywhere else. The 5.5.
We're
going to
clip
seeing...
Florida State, aren't we? We're gonna whack them, aren't we? We're not buying into Florida State, are we?
No, we're not. And I think that this is going to be one of the ones that we're absolutely going to play the under in. So let's start with the FanDuel line. 5.5 over plus minus 115. The under minus 105. Let's go to the schedule, Joe. They open up with Notre Dame. They do have Jacksonville State. You would think that that's going to be a win. At Wake Forest, Louisville at home, Syracuse at home, at UNC. They play UMass at home. How noble of them. on homecoming day, no less.
On homecoming, UMass gets to collect the check.
Nothing like making sure Norvell making sure that he gets a win on homecoming day than having
if you want to know, Walt Bell was the former OC at Florida State under Taggart, so maybe there's a little,
They probably scheduled this a while ago then after he went up there. At Clemson, NC State at home, Miami at home, at BC, and they finish at the Swamp against the Gators, as they traditionally do in that rivalry matchup. Off the surface, Joe, two wins, three wins actually. I'm talking like surefire ones. I feel like Jacksonville State, UMass, and even Syracuse at home. And Syracuse, geez, are they going to win a game this year? I feel like we go against them every single time, but you have to. I feel like those are three. So can we get this team three more wins?
No.
No.
They are 1-9 over the last couple of years straight up on the road. Okay? And Mackenzie Milton's a great story. He's not leading this team to a bowl appearance this year. Jordan Travis, inconsistent, makes poor decisions. That defense, remember Ashante Samuels on that defense. Marvin Wilson's on that. That defense gave up 190 rushing yards per game last year. That's how good they were. Right? Or did they just quit? Which one is it? Either or, it's not good in terms of the projections for 2021. Mike Norvell lost his team from the day he walked in. He's had issues ever since he walked into that locker room and said he talked to the team with the COVID issues. All of a sudden, they're going to rally around Mike Norvell. They can't run the football, although I will give them this. In the second half of the year, they did run the football a little more effectively, but they have no outside threat in terms of a perimeter passing game. And the teams that they match up with are much better defensively than they are. So I just don't see any way Florida State gets to a bowl game, and I think Norvell is whacked at the end of the year, and prime time is the new head coach in Tallahassee.
And the other hard part for them, Joe, is like they got like every tough team in the ACC this year. Like their schedule just broke the really, really wrong way. Like they play at Clemson, they play at North Carolina, they play Miami at home, who are arguably, Joe, those are the three best teams in the ACC, right? I mean, North Carolina, Clemson, and Miami, and also this is their year in the rotation with Notre Dame. So that's four games, Joe, right out of the gate that they're not winning any of those four. Now, they beat North Carolina last year. Let's remember that. They did beat Sam Howell, but as we discussed when we did North Carolina's lines the other day, I don't think that they're doing that back-to-back years. I think that Sam Howell's going to be out to crush them this year.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Sam Howell is going to have a big chip on his shoulder in this matchup, right? I mean, you would have to think that was the game that really kept them out of all talk for a potential playoff at that particular time. So we'll see. I mean, they had, I believe, North Carolina last year was ranked, what were they, fifth when they lost that game?
Yeah, top five.
Right?
So yeah, they were in the top five.
They were in the top five. And somehow Mike Norvell and Jordan Travis pulled that game out, right? And they, the Seminoles are back. The Seminoles are back. And then all of a sudden we know what happened.
So it's five
now,
and
I
a half.
Now, I will say this.
Go
you
ahead,
you say Joe. Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State had a 14-0 lead on Florida State. They won that matchup 41-24 last year.
Remember that? I remember that afternoon where everybody was like, Florida State's going to lose. They're losing to Jacksonville State, and then they ended up pulling it out later. They're not going to lose to them, Joe. They're not going to lose to them. So we have to give them a win there if we're talking about the win totals here against Jacksonville State. I see 5.5 everywhere. So me and you are pretty
confident. Are we going under?
Me and you are confident.
Under.
We're confident on this under. I'm actually, this is one that I'm willing to stamp. I'm good for the under, Joe, as well as you. Now let's get the best price. FanDuel under 5.5 minus 105. DK's got them under 5.5 at plus 105.
Ooh.
We like ooh, plus money. Ooh, and our friends at Wynn, Joe, have them under 5.5 at plus 115.
Oh, you love
so
Wynn.
There we go.
It's like Wynn, baby. You're gonna be doing commercials for Wynn soon.
Look, I like their props as we discussed last week, and we've got more that we're gonna look at. Joe, plus 115 under 5.5.
I like
we
that
found our,
a lot.
We found
I like
our,
that
we found
a
our
lot,
winner. We found our winner.
That's it. I love it. I'm going
all right, so
under.
Me and Joe.
I'm with you. So I'm going over Wake under Florida State, and I'll give a push to the under on NC State.
There you go. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, right here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and wrap it up with the week one line of the day after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, it is time. Week one, line of the day. And since you are so high on the South Florida Bulls, and after getting picked last today in the American Median poll at their media day, they open the season against one of the teams we just discussed their win total, North Carolina State, the Wolfpack. South Florida goes there. The line that day, Joe, 17.5.
I'll take
North Carolina State. You'll take it. He won't let me finish. I'll take it, Joe says. I'm in for 17.5 in South Florida.
I love Jeff Scott as a coach. I've watched him. I saw his game in halftime adjustments. I think his team is bought in. He's got some young talent. I like the running game. He's got a balanced offense. I'm not sold on Devin Leary completely being this elite quarterback. A lot of pressure on North Carolina State. And who do they play in week two? Is it not Mississippi State in Starkville, the SEC opponent? Is there a look ahead potential? Give me USF week one with the points.
Wow, look at that. I'm going to be laying it, Joe. I'm going on the other side of you here.
Bushwhack. You're just going to look at
I am. I'm going to take NC State at home. I'm not ready to buy into Jeff Scott and South Florida right out of the gate. I think the Wolfpack put the whooping on him. I'm going to lay that 17.5, Joe. Let's go, Wolfpack, down low.
Don't be shocked if USF strikes the upset in Raleigh. Crazy things happen in Raleigh, I can tell you that, especially early on. There's been some games, even back to the days of when Russell Wilson was there. You could even go further. Jamie Barnett in the early days. I mean, just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
They play some wild, wild games in Raleigh. And last year was no different. That Miami game went right down to the last possession.
Joe, great job today. Tomorrow we'll have more win totals, ACC, Virginia, Pitt, and Cuse. Joe, will either of us pick Cuse to win a game? That is the question that we will find out tomorrow.
Tough.
Right here, College Football Full Circle. Thanks, as always, to Andrew Torres. Did an outstanding job. Joe, I will see you tomorrow. College Football Full Circle, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.